It's time for Project Connect on Husker Radio. Each year, Project Connect hosts an in-person event as a one-stop shop for families and individuals to connect with services around the area. The event is sponsored by Families First Partnership. This year, due to COVID-19, the event could not take place. In its absence, Husker Radio was proud to partner with Families First Partnership and provide an audio resource to get the word out on these critical organizations. To learn more about Project Connect, go to familiesfirstpartnership.org. You can also hear all our Project Connect interviews at HuskerRadio.com. Now, on with today's Project Connect, here's Tristan Winder.
And welcome back on Husker Radio's Project Connect Spotlight. Pleased to have George Hodge joining us now of Community Connections. George, appreciate the time, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Now, George, for individuals that haven't heard about Community Connections before, could you please tell us what Community Connections is and what Community Connections has to offer for our Lincoln County individuals?
Well, Community Connections is a group of nonprofit organizations that help in preventing and reducing substance abuse and help in raising up children who are good citizens. So we have a mentoring program for younger children. We also have substance abuse prevention program that works with the community to deal with issues related to alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs. And we have a tobacco-free Lincoln County, which addresses problems related to tobacco use, helps encourage people to have smoke-free homes, directs people to the tobacco quit line. We have an assets group. It's called 40 Developmental Assets. It's the curriculum that they use. And our coordinator for that goes into the schools and meets with students to help them develop those important assets for getting along in this world and be successful. And then we have a youth leader program, which works with middle and high school age students to help them to be involved, to be a voice, especially among their peers, to help reduce substance abuse.
Now, George, we know that primarily you handle a lot of the situations with the tobacco abuse, and I'm sure one thing that you highlight a lot of with the Project Connect is the benefits of having a smoke-free environment, rather it be at work or at home.
Yes, definitely, and that is really, really important, and a lot of people understand that, and I think we're getting more awareness as time goes on, as people expect to have clean indoor air when they go shopping, when they go to a restaurant, and even more and more to expect to have clean air when they're in outdoor recreational areas such as our parks and trails. And then we also direct people to the tobacco quit line and to other resources to help them with some of those issues.
I know there's been some recent literature that you've put out from your office and some recent public service announcements as well, encouraging individuals to talk to their landlords and to talk to their tenants, if they are a landlord, about the benefits of smoke-free living. So tell us about that benefit and how you're helping individuals initiate that conversation, rather they be the tenant, the landlord, or the homeowner.
Well, as you go into a building that has been smoked in, it's usually pretty obvious. And as you can imagine, the smoke clinging to the walls and to and those smart particles continue to come out into the air, into the living space for very much longer. You can imagine and understand when the U.S. Surgeon General said there is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke. And that is especially true for children whose lungs are developing, people who have respiratory issues anyway, but it is actually important for everybody to breathe clean air, and that's basically our mantra is, we talk about some things being less harmful than others. Well, the standard should be clean air for everybody to breathe, and secondhand smoke is one of the very most common pollutants when it comes to the air we breathe. So people sometimes have the mistaken impression that there's nothing I can do about it. Sometimes landlords even think, well, I can't establish smoke-free policies for my building. Well, a lot of landlords have done that very thing, and people need to recognize that secondhand smoke it's harmful to the building itself. And so you're protecting your building, you're reducing fire risk, but it's harmful to the occupants. And an occupant in one apartment ought to be able to expect clean air, indoor air, and not to expose the smoke coming from another apartment. And people know all too well that smoke from one apartment can seep in throughout the entire building and affect all the residents. So landlords, we encourage them and we help them to address issues related to transitioning to smoke-free apartments, but also the tenants themselves. It's important to start the conversation if your apartment building does have smoke-free policies, but there are some violations. It's important to, in a very positive a way, to approach neighbors, the landlords, and explain just how it affects you, but also explain to the landlord that that you would like him or her to consider adopting smoke-free policies where there are none in place at this time. And like I mentioned, more and more the apartments in our area are adopting smoke-free policies for their buildings.
And tell us, George, about the benefits of having that smoke-free environment in the vehicle. We know that a lot of individuals will often smoke in their vehicle, but even if you're doing that and don't have the kids in the car, you're alone in the vehicle, but the kids come in the vehicle later, obviously there's still some danger with that.
That's right, and that's a good observation that you make, that there are a lot of people who have smoke-free homes who still, when they get in their car, it's kind of a habit and something that they automatically do is to light up. Sometimes people roll down the window, and that really doesn't keep smoke from accumulating in the car. So what you've referred to is third-hand smoke, when smoke accumulates into the seat, and to the seating liner and other areas of the car or the other surface. And then those particles are released back into the air, and that is still harmful. So what we're dealing with is even if children aren't in the car to be exposed to secondhand smoke originally, they are in the car later to be exposed to third-hand smoke, which is also harmful.
Now, George, tell us about how you and the Tobacco Free Nebraska Coalition of Community Connections work with some of the other agencies that would normally be at the Project Connect out of the DNN Event Center.
Well, we work with the Health Department. We work with Great Plains Health. We work with other organizations such as Region 2, with the North Platte Housing Authority, and with the Connection, homeless shelter, and with law enforcement, and another number of different organizations in town that we try to partner with to get messages out, to provide resources where we can, all part of this thing that we're calling Community Connect. One thing that is very timely that I wanted to point out as part of that partnership is working with the city of North Platte. The city has rules prohibiting the use of alcohol in any of the parks. They also have rules prohibiting, by regulation, smoking in a number of areas at the park, including the ball fields. But the city has also taken an approach to encourage people not to use tobacco in any form in any of the areas of the parks or trails. And at this time where the softball games have started, the co-ed games on Monday nights and the men's games on Tuesday nights, we're trying to increase some awareness to help people understand that it's very, very important not to have tobacco and alcohol enter into the environment there in relation to the games, either during the games or afterwards. So we're partnering with the Recreation Department to help get the word out and create some awareness about that. Help people think about health and that healthy environment.
Now, George, if individuals want to learn more about Community Connections, or maybe they have a bad habit right now that they'd like to kick and want some help of tobacco-free Nebraska, how can they learn more and how can they possibly get that life-saving assistance?
Well, they can go and do a search for tobacco-free Nebraska, of course, which has a lot of resources, but also go to our website. If they just go to communityconnectionslc.org, you can learn about all our programs. You can also just do a search for tobacco-free Lincoln County. It should be real easy to pull up our webpage on the communityconnectionslc.org website. And we do have a lot of resources, a lot of references to other helpful links, some resources that people can download to get more information and to be directed to the quit line if they want to quit using tobacco. Encourage people to call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. But we have all of those things related to tobacco that we are trying to make very practical and convenient and easy for people to locate.
George, is there anything else you'd like to add today, sir?
I want to appreciate you with the interview this morning. Tell people that we are there to provide resources, to be of help, to be of assistance. There's a lot of people that just really don't know how to deal with the issues related to tobacco, and we're here to provide that guidance.
Well, George, we sure do appreciate the time today and appreciate all the great work you do in helping Nebraskans live a healthier lifestyle.
Well, thank you very much, Tristan. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Project Connect on Husker Radio. You can listen back to this and all other Project Connect interviews at huskerradio.com and learn more about Project Connect at familiesfirstpartnership.org, the sponsor of this great program.